And I, you know, if I had passed you and your brother that sang with you on the street, I wouldn't have said, "Are you fellow singers?" You can't tell a book by the cover. But I'm going to tell you what. You need to do that more often. That's good singing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, get to know us. We have enjoyed being here. My wife, Norma, I'll not ask her to stand. It's a little bit difficult for her. She is from Illinois, so I've got a cross-cultural marriage. And I'm from between Kinston and New Bern, a little place called Cove City. We use the same signpost for entering and leaving from that little town. So we've never had a stoplight. Now, we've got a blinker light, but we've never had a stoplight. That is the red, yellow, and green. But good to see you. I'm glad you're here this morning. And let me find my notes here right quick so we can get down to business. And you say, well, you should have had them already. Well, I had them in place. I may have shifted them a little bit. Well, you can turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. We're going to chapter 17. There's a very unusual verse there in that passage, especially when Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. Do you realize that when he preached in the synagogues, he always started with the prophets and went on with the history? But when he's here on Mars Hill, he's dealing with unsaved Gentile people that have no knowledge of the Word of God. Oh, in every religion around the world, there is some Bible mixed in with it, but it's so mixed up. They don't know what part is for God. They don't know what part is for the devil. You look at all the religions, Far Eastern religions, they have incense, they have sacrifices, and different things that they do. And so Paul is preaching to that kind of people. And if you notice here in chapter number 17, verse number 23 through 26, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Our Father, I need your help this morning, your strength. I know the message that you've laid on my heart. Please help me to be able to present it clearly, accurately, exactly as you would have it to be heard by these dear folk here. Thank you for this ministry. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray the Holy Spirit would use the words of this message to guide that heart to a saving knowledge of you. I pray for the missions conference coming. Oh, dear Father, please bless in that conference. Brother J.B. Godfrey, thank you for him. Thank you for the powerful preaching that he does. And I pray that our folk here will be in every service and be excited. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My wife is an RN, and I'm a graduate in the field of medical technology, hospital lab from the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. Back in the old days, it was known as Wilmington College when I was there. But one day at the old James Walker Memorial Hospital in Wilmington, I was in blood bank studying, and I had never typed myself. And I thought, well, I need to know what my blood type is. So I took an alcohol sponge and wiped off the end of my finger. I worked it up real good, got it real red on the end. I opened up one of those little pieces of paper that's got a bumblebee inside of it. And there happened to be a mirror on the wall, and I looked in the mirror and said, this is not going to hurt. And I missed my finger three times. I turned to the lady next to me. I said, Sybil, could you hit my finger? She got it first time out. I put a drop on one end of a slide, a drop on the other end of that slide, and a drop over here on a slide by itself. I put some anti-A here, anti-B here, and RH factor over on that drop of blood. I took a clean toothpick. I stirred the A side. Turned the toothpick around, stirred the B side, put this over on a little machine that rocked back and forth at body temperature, and stirred it. My A side was clumping up, looked like it had a little gravel in it. The B side was smooth. Well, I'm an A. I looked at the RH factor, it's clumping up. I'm a positive. I'm an A positive. And at that time, I was headed to Africa. And many of the African folk are A positive. And I said, praise the Lord. If I get over there and pull my dipstick out and I'm a quart low, I'm going to grab me an African. You say, preacher, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. God hath made of one blood. All nations of men, every human being on the face of the earth can be cataloged under A, B, AB, O as the main blood classification. It can be either negative or positive. Every single human being in the world. And for that reason, every single human being in the world carries the same blood poison. Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for all have sinned. Before we got ready to go to Africa, I had people to say, well, how do you know that they are lost? I said, ma'am, there's only one thing I have to look for over there. If I find them, they're lost. She said, well, what is that? I said, graveyard. If I find tombstones, if I find graves, they're lost. Death did not come into the world until sin came into the world. Now, because every human being on the face of the earth carries the same blood poison, that's why we're involved in missions. Amen. I was in a Baptist church one Sunday morning, teaching the Sunday school class. A lady was sitting on the second row, and I was down on the floor level teaching, and I said, do you believe that if person in a foreign land never hears the gospel, that God will make a way for them to go to heaven? She said, yes. I said, ma'am, could you show me the verse and scripture right after the service? I want to see where it says that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, for God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't need to condemn the world. The world was already condemned at the same place. Every single human being got lost at the same place I got lost. Genesis chapter 3. Sin has been passed down through the generations by Adam. And if they never hear a clear presentation of the gospel, they'll be lost. You say, well, preacher, that's not fair. Well, now wait just a minute. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. I want you to look with me in verse number 21. Well, let's go back to verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. In other words, we come off the assembly line, already programmed to know God by conscience, by creation, and by the Word of God. We can know it. Every person, no matter what part of the world they're in, whether it's the deepest jungles of South America, can look into the heavens and realize that somebody bigger than they are made it all. And they worship sun and stars and moon because they know there's a greater creator. Listen to this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. That word, the world, can mean time past, time future, time present, or in other words, everlasting time. He has put into our hearts, as Don Richardson said in one of his books, eternity has been put in our heart. Every single person on this earth worships something. They either worship God, they worship ancestors, they worship, they are pantheists, they worship everything that's got God in it. They worship something, they worship money, materialism, they worship something. Everybody worships something. Listen to what it says in Psalms 19, verse 1 through 4. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. That's the book of creation. The same sun you look at is the same sun we looked at in Micronesia. It's the same sun that I looked at in Liberia, West Africa. The same moon that you look at here in America, which is not as clear as it ought to be because of the haze and the smog and so forth of the cities. But you look at it in Micronesia or Africa, out in the bush country, and that moon is so big and so bright that I have stood there in Liberia and read my Bible verses and preached by the light of a full moon. Those things are testimonies to the handiwork of God Almighty. But did you know that we have some independent Baptists that say that they have been saved, but they do not believe that God created the world? They believe it's working through an evolutionary process, or that God started a creative act and evolution has finished it. Bless your heart, if Genesis chapter 1 is a lie, then John 3:16 is a lie. If God lied in Genesis 1, then he lied in John 3, and God does not lie. So the truth of the matter is, God has put into every man's heart, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I was hunting monkeys one day with a Liberian friend of mine way back in the jungle. And of course, monkeys are very skittish, and they are working their way through the trees, and we're sitting there quietly. And just as I'm getting ready to put my 12-gauge shotgun up and shoot, I look at Solomon. I said, "Solomon, yeah, you believe men were coming from monkey?" He said, "Did you, what kind of idea you white people got? How you say that man coming from monkey? If man were coming from," and he's getting louder and louder, and the monkeys are gone. They've faded into the trees. He said, "If man were coming from monkey, isn't we going to see some half man, half monkey somewhere?" I said, "Well, Solomon, I would not believe that business." But I said, "The book people to my country, they believe that thing." He said, "The book people to your country, teacher, are stupid." Now, you know what his problem was? He had not graduated from the University of North Carolina. He had sense enough to know where he came from. If you can get a man to know where he came from, then you can get him headed in the right direction where he needs to go. But they're in our churches today. In fact, it's said by the Pew organization that 75% of our young people projected here at Faith Baptist Church, any other fundamental Bible-believing church, as soon as they graduate from high school, they will never come back into the doors of the church. God help us. And yet a missionary friend of mine in Venezuela, he's dead now, was back there translating the Bible way back up one of the tributaries off of the Amazon River. And he said to his interpreter, "Do you have a story about creation?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Really?" "Yeah." He said, "Well, tell me." He said, "One day a rope came down out of heaven. And a man came down the rope. And then a woman came down the rope. And while they're looking around, somebody pulled the rope up." You say, "Well, now, preacher, you're going to say that that's like Adam and Eve." Bless your heart, he's done better than we have. He's got a rope in his, but he doesn't have monkeys in there hanging by their tail and swinging by their tail. And by the way, he has it in the right order. Yes, sir. He has man first, woman second. And by the way, it's not two men. Amen. It's not two women. Right. It's a man and a woman. That's in the darkest part of Venezuela, in the jungles of Venezuela, where a man was translating the Word of God, helping this missionary. One day I was with my pastor in Liberia, and it was late in the evening. We were going into a village. We were going to be preaching. And as we walked into the village, I saw a goat tied to the post of a kitchen. Now, when I say kitchen, I'm talking about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 posts in a circle with thatch on it, open air. And the reason for it is so hot. You want it to where you can cook over an open fire out where you can get a breeze. As I looked at that goat, I said, "Pastor, those people here, they will eat fine too much." He said, "Teacher, they can't eat that much." I said, "The goat sick?" He said, "No, teacher. That goat there is for the witch doctor." I said, so what the witch doctor he would do? He said, "Teacher, he will come to this town. After we leave, he will come here. He will talk to all the people, the bad thing they're doing. He will go to that goat. He will put his hand on the goat. He will talk something to that goat. Then they will take the goat inside the bush. They will loose him, and nobody can kill him, and nobody can bring him back into the town. I said, Pastor, that's the scapegoat business.
Yes, sir.
He said, yeah, teacher, that's the scapegoat. I said, so you people, you know something. He said, teacher, this time God business and the devil business is so mixed inside together, we don't know what part is for God and what part's for the devil. We are headed to the same place in this country. Floyd Holmes, a missionary friend of mine in Liberia while I was there, happened to be back in the village where he saw an old man putting the final thatch on top of the roof. When he finished, he called for his son and said, my son, bring one chicken. The boy went out in the village and caught a white chicken. Brought him back, climbed up that pole, handed it to his father who was holding on to the center pole. He put the chicken's head between his big toe and the next toe and pulled the chicken's head off. And the chicken, of course, flapping and sprinkling the blood all over the top of the thatch. As Floyd watched that, he said, oh man, how you do so? Teacher, our old people, we got some story that the time we can put a blood of one white chicken on the thatch, the evil spirit that cannot humbug we. Floyd said, old man, come down. I got the book right here that got the true story inside. It's not a chicken, but it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Don Richardson tells the story of when he went into Irinjara with the Regions Beyond mission back in the early 60s. And he and his wife went to the Yali tribe. Or Sawi tribe, I'm sorry. And they went back into that tribe and began to teach the Bible like we would do here in Sunday school. And when they got to the story of Jesus being betrayed by Judas, boy, the people broke out and clapped. And he asked them, why are you clapping? They said, oh, that Judas is a fine man. The way he tricked that man called Jesus, oh, Judas is a fine man. And they fell in love with Judas because of the trickery. And they were brokenhearted. How in the world are we going to explain something to these people? And then one day, they were having war with another tribe. And one of those men came to him and said to the missionary, we're going to make peace here today. And Don Richardson said, how will you do that? They said, we will take one child from that tribe, one boy, and bring him to this tribe, to a man here, and that man will raise him as the peace child. Don knew then, he had found a connection from somewhere when they had a knowledge of God that he could make the application that Jesus Christ was given by God the Father as the peace child to us. He tells another story of a tribe that was probably the most vicious, wicked, warring tribe in Irinjara. In fact, they were so mean that the first missionaries that went in there, the husband and wife, they killed that couple. And the first 20 Christians that were saved in that group, they killed two of those Christians. And the government came in with martial law and forced them to accept the missionaries. Well, finally, they decided they'd rather have missionaries than the government, so they told the government, go ahead and we'll be peaceful. But they thought, how in the world will we win these folk? And then one day, one of the young men said to Don Richardson and another missionary that had come in, he said, you know, my brother was almost killed a few days ago. In fact, the fellow with him was killed. He said this other tribe came out of the bush in a clearing and killed one of them and said, my brother ran to a circle of rocks in the middle of that clearing and jumped over that 3 foot high circle of rock and then turned around and bared his chest. And the enemy dropped the bows, turned around and faded into the jungle. Don said, what caused them to do that? Oh, he said, there's an old story in our history that if someone can get inside that circle of rocks, that they cannot be killed. And he said the name of that circle is Oshawa. Put a J in the front of it, it would be Joshua. He said they can get in there and not be killed. Don Richardson realized that was the old city of refuge from the Old Testament. And he began to preach that Jesus Christ is our refuge from the devil, from sin. And that tribe, almost all of them, turned to Christ. Amen. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imagination, or their hearts, and their minds became foolish in their imaginations. They worshiped the creature more than God, more than the Creator. And that's where we are today. We're worshiping trees. We're worshiping environment. We're worshiping all of these things, getting caught up in the things that mean nothing. And souls are dying and going to hell. You say, preacher, are these stories true that you're telling? Bless your heart, they are true. I had one of the Africans to say to me one day, he said, teacher, you know this good news you bring to we people. Why? Why did you not come long time ago? You know this thing long time. Why you not come? And then you say, well, I'm sorry. I got here as soon as I could when God got a hold of my heart. I can't answer for the other people. He said, yes, but our old people, our pa, our ma, they will not know this. I was preaching in a village one night. Had a kerosene lantern there on the table. And I don't know how many people's out in front of me. It was dark. But when I gave the invitation, a dear old African lady got up. She was bare from the waist up, had a lap of cloth tied around her, had her hair tied, and she came walking up to Pastor Enoch. I thought maybe she was a Christian. That you say, well, preacher, she wasn't dressed quite right. Well, she was not dressed much different than a lot of Christians here in the States dress. But I knew she was old, and I thought maybe, you know, it was like my grandma. I remember when she got old, sometimes she'd have a stocking on one foot or leg and a sock on the other one, and so I just thought maybe she, because of her age. But Pastor Enoch came to me, and he said, teacher, you see this woman here? I said, yeah. I said, she believed? He said, teacher, she never believed. She never turned her heart for God's business. Except you come here today and preach the word of God. I said, well, Pastor, I want sure that woman can hear everything inside. You will talk to her strong. You would give all the things she need. They called for someone to bring a chair. Two of the Bible school boys brought a chair, and they took her by the arm respectfully and sat her down in the chair. Pastor Enoch got down on his hands and knees. He was a leper. He took her by the hand, and he said, Ma, ye believe katole lai. And he went on to witness and give her the plan of salvation. All she would say was, And when he finished, she stood up and did something I've never seen done before. She reached down, untied her lapper, pulled it up, and tied it at the top. I said, Lord, she's been saved 30 seconds. And she's already grown beyond some of our Christians in the States. 2 weeks later, I'm on my motorbike headed to the leprosy colony to work in the lab a little bit. I passed Pastor Enoch's house. Teacher, come here. And I swing around and go into his house there. He said, you know the old lady that believed to my town? I said, yeah, she here? He said, oh, no, Tisha, she died. Said, the news just come today that she died. I said, hey, yeah. It make my heart fall back too much. He said, Tisha, don't cry. He said, can't you see that old lady today? She never had nothing. But he said, Tisha, she died to heaven. She never even get to Jesus because she look at all the gold. She's rubbing her hands. She's looking, what? I never see that thing. My first time. I said, I understand. But we'll see her one day. What about you? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? You've been privileged to grow up in what has been known, whether we are now, but has been known at one time as the Bible Belt. You've grown up. You've had the privilege to turn your radio on and hear preaching, hear the gospel. But this old lady, the first time she heard it, at an old age, came forward and received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Our Father, I don't know the hearts of folk today, and I'm so glad that I don't. But I do know this. You have put in every single heart on the face of the earth a conscience. No matter where we're born, there's always that sense of doing right or wrong because we've been made in your image. We have many of your characteristics. And if we die and go to hell, it'll be of our own volition because we would not submit our will to your will. Please, dear Father, if there's someone here this morning, there's a possibility they'd be called out into eternity before this day finishes. Please help them to come. Just watch the news on Friday. Two of the star basketball players or football players at one of the schools there in Pitt County were killed in an automobile accident. Tragic. We never know when you will call us into eternity. Speak to hearts, dear Lord. There may be some Christians today that want to commit themselves anew and afresh to praying for missionaries, praying for their ministries, asking God to give them fruit for their labor. In Jesus' name, amen.